I'm going to ask that question I ask all the time. So what? So what that our limbic system controls us, that we've got this emotional brain that reacts rather than responds, that it doesn't think, it just simply reacts, and it's kind of out of control, and it's a loose cannon, and we tend to run away or fight. We've got this fight or flight reaction to so many things. So what? What does this matter? How is it valuable to understand business? Is it valuable to understand what we believe? Okay, understanding this stuff. Well, yes and no. It is important to feel in control and be able to grow in the ways you know you need to grow your business. Okay? It is important to have enough awareness. This is what I'm talking about. It's important to have enough self-awareness that you understand a little bit about what's going on, that you have confidence to change something if it's a little bit off, if it's not moving you towards your goals in business. It is not helpful, it is not valuable, it is not useful to get into every little nitty-gritty detail of everything in our lives. We can lose ourselves, okay? And just like I've shared this before, we need action and we need self-awareness. We need both. Work on your self-awareness, and then once you have some self-awareness, grow in your ability to take action and change something. Here's a crazy thing. If you want more self-awareness, start taking action in certain ways. And as you take action, you will grow in certain ways and look back and go, oh, that's why I was doing that. That's why I wasn't doing that. You'll start to understand what was going on, okay? So what a belief is made of. Let's talk about this a little bit. There are certainties, okay? So one aspect of belief is that it's certainty. So if you believe you are intelligent, the belief doesn't speak of truth necessarily, okay? You may or may not be intelligent. It is a certainty that is usually based on comparisons. So maybe you were good at math or even better at math than other people, so therefore you're smart. Or therefore, let's talk about how this plays a role with business, therefore you rely on yourself more than on others in business because you're the smartest person in the room, okay? There's a difference between an opinion and a belief and a conviction. Okay, so in every belief, there's a certainty factor. We feel more confident in certain realms, less confident in other realms. We feel more certainty that we'll do a good job speaking in front of people, or less certain. More certain that we are able to accomplish a situation when it comes to communication or confrontation, or less. There's certainty involved, okay? The next aspect that I want to talk about is ideas, okay? Beliefs are based on ideas, which are based on experiences. So a teacher said Susie was smart because she was good at math. Therefore, a person is smart if they are good at math. So we create these ideas in our heads, okay? Having a better grade means I'm better at something. It's important to be intelligent. Or I'm Asian and Asians are supposed to be good at math. So says certain parts of our culture. So we've got all these ideas in our heads and they affect us. Now, how does this apply to business? Well, it's the same with sales, right? What have your experiences been with sales? Who are you comparing yourself to? Whether it was difficult or not, whether it was taking advantage and manipulative or helpful. What are your experiences? What are other people saying about sales? A lot of people talk about like greasy car salesman or whatever, right? And because sales is so often connected in our culture with something evil, we see it as something bad. It's not something bad. It's beautiful if it's done the proper way. So we've got all these ideas coming from ourselves and others that influence our beliefs. And then if a belief is built on two ideas that are easily changed, certainty won't be as strong, okay? So the quality and quantity of the ideas is important. How much they can be challenged, as well as how often we hear them. For example, the stronger the idea is and the more ideas you have about something. So let's talk about sales again. So let's say that your experiences with sales have been terrible. All the people around you talk about sales in a less than altruistic way. And they talk about sales in a really bad way, and there's no idea in your head that refutes the idea that sales are bad. Well, if that's the case, you are going to have a strong belief that sales are bad. You're going to have a strong belief that sales are bad. So what do you need to do? Well, actually, the way to change the beliefs, again, you need some awareness. But once you've got a little bit of awareness, what you need to do is start changing the quality of the ideas that are different than that. And you need to change the quantity that you hear those ideas. So for example, spend time with business people. Good, like people who have integrity. All of a sudden, what will happen? This is what happened to me. I started spending time with a lot of millionaires. And when I started spending time with a lot of millionaires that were doing really well in business, what I started to understand was, wait a second, these are good people. And they sell all the time. And they do business all the time. And they've got lots of money. Therefore, my beliefs that money makes you bad and sales is evil and business is bad on some level, those beliefs started to be questioned. Why? Not because I knew one person that was a good person. Because I was knowing lots of people that were good people. And spending lots of time with those people, the quantity of time I spent with those people went up, and I started to realize these people are giving way more than others of their time, energy, and money to the poor, to projects that are worthwhile. And all of a sudden I started questioning my beliefs. That's how you question beliefs. You actually spend time with different ideas. That's key. I'm gonna come back to this in the third video. So keep that in mind. It is key to challenge your ideas, and the more you challenge them, the more things will start to change, okay? Beliefs are a little bit like a stool, where the strength of the belief is based on the strength of the stool, based on the strength of the legs. So, for example, when you look at this stool, the image that I've got here, made out of wood, fairly short, three legs, how strong is that stool? And it doesn't matter what the answer you give right now. I just simply want you to go through it and think about this a little minute. How strong is that stool? Now, compare that with this image. How strong is the wood stool compared to this folding chair, this folding tripod? Still three legs. What's the strength? I'm not talking about the utility. I'm not talking about how whether you like it or not. What's the strength of the wood stool, those beliefs, supported by those legs, versus the strength of the belief held up by these legs? Or what about this? Now, this is a building that has stood the test of time. It's over 2,000 years old, built by the Greeks. It's a lot of Greek buildings like this and temples were only starting to be taken apart, not from earthquakes. They've experienced lots of earthquakes, not from weather conditions or anything else, or wars, many wars. They've only started to fall apart as people have started to take them apart from museums. It happened in the 19th century. People from the British Museum of history started to take these things apart and kind of take them away from the country and put them in England. So the only way that these ones were coming down was when people started to hand by hand take stone by stone apart. How long do you think this would last? What do you need to do to topple this chair, this belief system? What do you need to do to topple this chair belief system? Now, these are fairly negligible, right? They've got some similarities, some differences. Three legs, they're not as strong. But this is sturdy. It is going to be very difficult to change this belief system. Why? Because the strength of the legs are completely different than the strength of these legs. This is a flimsy belief. This is a strong belief. And I want you to keep that in mind as we continue going through this idea that beliefs are built on the strength of the ideas underneath them, the legs underneath them. At one time, the Earth was the center of the universe. Everyone knew this. Not everyone. Most people knew this. Based on quality understandings from quality people, Plato, Aristotle, it was a prominent idea that had been defeated heliocentric ideas for over 2,000 years. For over 2,000 years, people knew that this was the way it was. It could be proven with science that the Earth is at the center of the universe. Listen, there were many great ideas that started the reasons and evidence for a geocentric universe, a world-centered universe, an Earth-centered universe. Lots of good ideas. So if you had thousands of years where people were talking about how the Earth is the center, there's the quantity, And the qual, you've got people like Plato and Aristotle, the greatest minds that people could think of or remember, were talking about the Earth being the center of the universe. It was a difficult idea to dislodge, right? It would have been. Why? Because all the evidence seemed to not be in your favor. Copernicus came along and provided ideas why he believed the sun was the center of the universe. Now again, this was good science coming from very ancient ideas. Do you know that there was actually heliocentric universe, the idea that the sun is the center of the universe, even before Plato, this idea was around. Now, this idea lasted a long time as well, but it's difficult to unseat old ideas, right? And the prominent idea was that the Earth is the center. So even though there was good science, and it started coming up more and more, it took a long time, even though it made far better sense of the universe, it took a long time to unseat the other idea, that the Earth was the center. Even though, well, I believe one is more correct than the other. I have a belief about this too, right? I have a belief that the sun is the center of our galaxy. Sorry, I've been saying universe, of our galaxy. Now most people believe the sun is simply the center of our solar system, and the universe is far bigger with no known center. In fact, many people believe there is no center of the universe. Now, which is true? This is a really important question. Which is true? It's a crazy question on so many levels because it's extremely difficult to prove. How do you prove it? What do you believe is the better question? Do you believe the sun is the center of the universe? Do you believe that that there is a center to the universe? Do you believe that humanity is the center of the universe? Do you believe? Now, I personally believe that we don't know where the center is, and there very well could not be a center of the universe, okay? But you know what? I don't know. That's my belief. My belief is that we operate with laws like gravity, and that the Earth is round. I believe those things, and I'm fairly certain, okay, there's a certainness to my belief based on the strength of the ideas and how much time I've grown up believing these things, but I don't know, and I've got to admit that. People who say they know stuff are generally wrong. I'm going to say that again. People who generally say, I know this, are generally wrong. I'm very careful when I hear people say, this is true, fact, 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 this is true, believe what I believe. Because usually they're trying to hide something. Usually they're trying to protect themselves on some level, okay? Remember, when we begin to believe something, we forget that it was simply an interpretation, okay? So for most of history, most people believe that certain races of people aren't as capable of others, okay? Have you ever been bumped into by someone who didn't apologize? Maybe a sibling. If you interpreted what happened as them trying to hurt you, you may then take that into other situations, okay? When I was in China, actually, there wasn't a lot of space on buses or even streets at times. Lots of jostling. And initially, I took that to mean people were going out of their way to hurt me or bother me. Later, I realized that people aren't giving me a second thought. I'm not that important to them, okay? It's just really crowded. Same thing with driving in the road being cut off. In China, a lot of my interpretations of the world actually were challenged. I was there for 8 years, and this is basically what happened. Initially, I went to China and thought, these people are so backwards, okay? Again, traffic situation. Sorry, I've got another few photos up here. Initially, when I was in China, I thought, these people are so backward. They do everything wrong. And I'm embarrassed to say that, but it's true. Then as I lived there, I started to go, there are reasons these people do what they do. There are reasons these people do what they do. And then I came to a place where I thought, some of their ways are better than the ways we do things in North America. So they drive, when they're driving on the street, they're watching and paying attention to everything around them instead of simply following the rules. Like, oh, it's green, so I have to go. It's red, so I have to stop. Chinese traffic, at least when I was there, wasn't bound by those rules. There were those things as well, but people used them as guidelines. So, for example, if there's a red light but there's no one around, they would go. They'd stop and then go. If there was a green light but somebody was running through traffic, they would notice that and stop, okay? North Americans are terrible with this. North Americans are crazy drivers. Why? Mostly because we follow rules and don't think. We don't pay attention. So now I now ask, and this is what started to happen with my brain in China, I started to question my beliefs, and I started to now ask more questions instead of simply assuming things. And when I got to that place, I enjoyed my time and connected with others far better. My experience of China was fuller when I learned to question my beliefs instead of assuming things based on my past experiences. Somebody bumps into me, so they're bad. Or whatever, right? Which are really crazy beliefs. But they were based on things that were my own experiences. Now, memories equal beliefs. When we base our beliefs on memories, we actually get into trouble, okay? Memory is incredibly fallible. If there are five people in the same accident, they can easily remember completely different scenarios. And police officers have a difficult time with this because they'll ask different people and they all give different versions of the story. Have you ever had a conversation with a friend and remembered something completely different? It's like you were talking, hey, do you remember that time when we were down in, I don't know, this one city, when we were in Vegas and we did these crazy things, and somebody else says, I remember that happening, but it wasn't in Vegas. It was in, I don't know, Toledo or Tucson or whatever, right? And you go, no, I was sure it was in Vegas. And they said, no, it was in a different city. And you can remember the same situation, but you believe they're in completely different places. We attach things in a really unique way. I'll tell you another example, and then I'll get into this a little bit more and explain how this works. When I was younger, I made up a lie about how far I could jump a dirt bike. I had gone to my cousin's farm over the summer and they had a dirt bike, and I'm pretty sure I rode it, but I'm pretty sure I didn't jump it very far, okay? But I made up this story about how far I jumped it, like 25 feet in the air or something like that. And I told it so many times. I told this lie so many times, even though consciously I knew it was a lie. I told it so many times with vivid detail that I actually have a memory. I've got a memory of jumping that dirt bike 25 feet or whatever it was in the air. I can feel it even now, even though I know it wasn't true, even though I know consciously I made that thing up. Our memory is very fallible. This is how it works. We have strong emotions. So my emotion at the time was to impress my friends. Then if we repeat something enough times with strong emotions and add in a little bit of imagination, we create a memory. And this is why my wife and I have completely different memories of our wedding day. Completely different memories. Because on our wedding day, there were stronger emotions, and we've talked about our wedding day and thought about our wedding day many times individually, and we've lived through it again in our heads over and over in our imagination, and so we have memories, and those memories are completely different of our wedding ceremony, of what happened during the day, of whether it was a good day or not. We actually have a difference of opinion on that. It was the same wedding, okay? And the memory isn't on how we treated each other. It was more on how the day went, generally speaking. This is what happens with our memories. Our logical mind works very hard every day to justify what we already believe. I'm gonna repeat that. Our logical mind works very hard every day to justify what we already believe. So for example, if we have a prejudice against a certain people group, or if we have a, I don't know, we believe that sales are evil or whatever, our logical mind will go to great lengths to justify what we already believe. This is actually what our logical mind spends all of its time doing, is justifying what we already believe, okay? Another example maybe would be the round earth. At one time, many people believed the earth was flat. And if I went back into history and I went to a people group and said, did you know that I'm from the future and I know way more than you and I'm so intelligent and you guys are idiots, and I now know that the world is round. If they believed that the world was flat, they could come up with a very logical argument to show that I'm a fool. It would maybe go something like this. You idiot, Mark. You know that's smart in the future, if you are from the future. Because if the world was round, the people on the bottom would fall off, dummy. And you know what? That's a logical argument to support their belief system. It's not taking into account gravity, but who cares, right? It's missing an important point, but really, for them, that could be a logical argument. And we do this all the time. when I want to buy a certain gift for Christmas or a birthday for my kids, I will justify what I want to do using logic. I'll give a bunch of logical reasons why this is a great idea, even though it's a terrible idea, because I want to do it. The last new vehicle I bought, I was emotionally attached to a certain idea. Therefore, I used a ton of logic to justify why we needed to buy a certain vehicle. Even though, in many ways, it didn't make sense. But I had a certain belief, I had a certain desire attached to it, and I used logic to justify my beliefs. You do this every day. We all do it all the time. To change a belief, here's where we get into the most important part of this. If you haven't paid attention to anything else, please pay attention to this next little bit. To change a belief, we need to do three things. We need to make the legs of one belief weak. Okay? So think about the top of this stool as a belief. You need to make the legs of this, you need to decrease the quality of the idea, okay? So you need to start challenging your belief with contrary ideas. Secondly, when these legs are weak and the idea starts to topple, you don't leave it there. You put in new legs. You put in new ideas with repetition. You make sure that they're strong and you build them up with repetition. And thirdly, you continue to strengthen those new legs with repetition, okay? And those legs will get thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. There are some beliefs you have that are built more like the Colosseum we saw earlier, not the Colosseum, like the temple, okay? With all those stone columns, lasted 2,000 years. You have some beliefs like that. And to weaken those, it's gonna take some time. It's gonna take some time and energy. To weaken ideas that are on a stool like this, maybe it doesn't take as much time and energy. So people say, how long does it take to change a habit? You know what? It depends on the strength of the habit. If it's a really strong habit that we've had for a really long time, it's strong. So it's going to take a long time to change the ideas, the beliefs attached to that, the emotional connection to that. Over time, we can do it to any belief. There are crazy beliefs that I used to have that I don't no longer have. Massive changes in my belief system, in my framework, my spirituality, tons of things. Why? Because I worked hard to, well, sometimes I did it consciously, sometimes it didn't happen consciously, but over time, the strength of the legs that were holding up the idea, the ideas behind the belief, got weaker. When they got weaker, I switched them out with new ones, and then I strengthened those new ideas. So that now I have beliefs that are strong in other ways. And just like this, you can do this in different areas of life, including sales, including marketing, including speaking to strangers or speaking in public or networking with people or whatever it is that you really need to do to take care of your business. Weaken the old ideas, ideas that are not serving you or helping you towards your goals. Put in new ideas and strengthen those new ideas. Those are the three action steps. And in the order is important. Also, what's important is the way you do it. The ideas become stronger through the quality of the ideas and the quantity of the ideas. So do it with a vivid imagination. Add in emotions. That's the quality. The quantity is repetition. This is why people practice affirmations. This is why people practice reading over their goals, the mission statement or their why or whatever it is. Well, the more you do those things, the better prepared you are to change something and grow in a new way. Here's another secret. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give that away. I won't give that away. I'll leave that for the third video. Stay tuned for the third video here. You can watch it right after this. So take your time. Do what you need to. Make sure you watch it because it's got some great action steps.